A brief commercial message before you see your video. Creating a so-called Palestinian state would be national suicide for Israel. First, there has never been a Palestinian people. The terms Palestine and Palestinian have no historic validity. Israel is surrounded by 22 hostile Arab Muslim countries with over 640 times the size of land than that of the tiny Jewish state. If the Jews surrender Judea and Samaria, Israel will be only 6 to 9 miles wide. If you agree that Israel must never retreat to such suicidal borders, then join the Jewish Task Force, JTF. You don't have to be Jewish to join. The link to join is below.
Shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema for Sharon Mittman and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel Pesach Zeb Ben Chava Haramir Kahana Yosef Ben Meir Bari Hoffman Ruven Hoffman and Robert Mittman. We have two subjects that we want to discuss on this week's program. The first are incredible, miraculous developments involving the land of Israel over the years. We want to go over some of them with you in a way that we have never done before. We want to review some of the amazing miracles that have happened that will prove beyond any doubt to anyone who is sane that every word in the Bible is true, every word in the Torah is true, and that we're living in the days of the final redemption. We're close to the final redemption. Let's see if we can prove that point to you, and we can bring out some spectacular, amazing things that will astonish you. That's the first subject. The second subject is Donald Trump is not only continuing to betray Israel, he's continuing with his anti-Israel policies. He also announced this week that he is going to legalize all of the Dreamers and that he is going to let all of the Dreamers stay here. The Dreamers are, of course, the illegal aliens. And he's completely breaking all of his campaign promises. And Ann Coulter is even complaining and saying it looks like the Trump haters were right. So we're seeing here a situation where, again, you have to be blind not to see that Trump is turning out to be even worse than Obama. Even worse than Obama for the long-term future of the United States. Because if you have third world immigration, you won't have a future for this country. And that's what Trump is encouraging, and it's worse now than it was under Obama. But anyway, let's start off with the miracles involving Israel. Our leader, Morenu Verabenu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzedik V'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, our beloved leader, Rabbi Kahana, always said that when you see the events in our day, and if you don't believe in God, and you don't believe in the Bible, and the Torah, after seeing the events of our day, you're not an atheist, you're blind. How true that is. The Vilna Gaon was a great Jewish sage and a great Jewish scholar. He was a rabbinic sage. And he passed away in the year 1797, but he predicted that a little bit after 40 plus years after, in the year 1840, you would see the beginning of the final redemption. You'd see the process finally unfold that would lead to the ingathering of the Jews and the redemption that would lead to the redemption of the world. Because the ingathering of the Jews is the first step to the redemption of the world. And all of this would happen starting in 1840. And again, he passed away more than 40 years before that in 1797. And surely enough, in the year 1840, what did we have? We had a spectacular event in Europe that changed world history and certainly changed Jewish history. We had something called the emancipation, where a process began where the Jews were allowed to leave their ghettos. The Jews before that were not allowed to live anywhere other than in segregated ghettos and were barred from being part of society in any serious way. And all of that ended in 1840, that started to end in city after city and country after country in Europe. When the Jews came out of their ghettos, it was that process that enabled the Zionist movement to be born. It was the Jews, finally, because the Jews had remained in the ghettos, in their little shtetl, and never saw the real world, and were never able to liberate themselves from their ghetto thinking. If they had remained in their ghettos, the Zionist movement would never have started to rise. And so, and Zionism, by the way, means the creation of a Jewish state and the ingathering of the Jews to their Jewish homeland. So this started in 1840, just as the Vilna Gaon predicted it would more than 40 years earlier. But something else is astonishing. The Vilna Gaon and Chazal are the rabbinic scholars of the Talmud, always said to us, we can't have a Jewish state until there are 600,000 Jews living in Israel. There have to be 600,000 Jews living in Israel. In Hebrew, in Torah Hebrew, the term is Shishim Ribo. Shishim Ribo means 600,000 Jews living, 600,000 Jews that came out of the land of Egypt. Because when we were liberated from the land of Egypt in ancient times, 600,000 Jews were let out. And that number, 600,000, is very significant. We were not going to be liberated from the land of Egypt until we reached the 600,000 mark, until there were 600,000 souls that could be freed from the land of Egypt. And that same figure, 600,000, was the key to creating a Jewish state again, to returning the Jews to their land after 2,000 years of exile. This is what the rabbis of the Talmud told us. This is what the Vilna Gaon taught us. So Jews always remembered that number, 600,000. In 1840, when the process started, as the Vilna Gaon said it would, there were only 6,000 Jews in Israel. 6,000 Jews in the land of Israel in 1840. By 1917, when the British issued the Balfour Declaration saying that the Jews had a right to a Jewish homeland, and it started another process. That was in 1917. Then there were 60,000. In other words, exactly 10 times as many. We went from 6,000 to 60,000. 10 times as many. And then in 1948, surely enough, we reached 600,000. And when we reached the 600,000 that the rabbis always told us was the number that would lead to the creation of a Jewish state, we got a Jewish state against all odds. Against all odds. When there were 600,000 Jews in Israel in 1948, that's just as all the rabbis told us. We got a Jewish state. And the whole Arab world attacked that Jewish state. And the Jews were outnumbered 100-1 in that war. And won. 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight, it says in the Bible. All of these incredible miracles. And again, it's playing out exactly as the rabbis said it would, exactly as the Torah said, exactly as the Bible and the prophets and the Bible told us. It's playing out exactly that way. Today, again, that number 6 is significant. Why the number 6? Because 6 signifies Teva, signifies nature in the natural world, and there's going to eventually be changes in all of that when the final redemption comes. But I don't want to get into all of that, that's complicated. But we had 6,000 Jews in 1840 when the process began. We had 60,000 Jews when the Balfour Declaration is announced in 1917. And we have 600,000 Jews, 100 times as many, 600,000 Jews in Israel 1948 when a Jewish state is created, 100 times as many as the 6,000 that were there in 1840. 600,000 Jews. Today, we have over 6 million Jews in Israel. Again, 10 times as much. You notice in each of these key points in history, it's 10 times as much, 10 times as much, 10 times as much, 10. 6,000 to 60,000 to 600,000, now to 6 million. 6 million Jews in the land of Israel. That's half of the world's Jewish population. Half of the Jews in the world now live in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. That's a very significant milestone. We're beginning to reach the point where Jewish life is going to be completely dominated by Jews in the land of Israel, not Jews in the Galut, not Jews in the exile. Now, how is it that we were able to have a situation where we went from 6,000 Jews in 1840 to 6 million Jews today? How did all this miraculous ingathering of the exiles, how did all this come about? First of all, God promises in the Torah, more than 3,000 years ago this is written, God promises the Jewish people that he will not allow the land of Israel to become hospitable for anyone else to settle there. During the time when the Jews are going to be in exile, no one else will be able to settle in the land of Israel or create a meaningful community or a new people or a new nation there. The land itself will become so inhospitable, will become so impossible to live in that no other nation will be created there. And no other people will be formed there. And that's what happened for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, along the coastline of the Mediterranean, there were malaria-ridden swamps. Just swamps where everyone who went there was was catching malaria and getting very sick and dying. Just impossible to do anything there along the coast. And then inward, inland, it was worse than a desert. Worse than a desert. It was desolate, the land. Mark Twain called it desolate. Mark Twain said that even in a desert, you see the cactus. He said, when I went throughout the land of it, traveling throughout the land of Israel, I didn't even see a cactus. I didn't even see the cactus plants that you see in a desert. So the conditions were worse than the conditions in a desert. That's how bad it was. The Christian crusaders, who murdered huge numbers of Jews, slaughtered them, who used to stick their swords in the bellies of pregnant women and cut their babies out of their bellies. That's what the Christian crusaders screaming, "Christ, we adore thee," while they cut babies out of the stomachs of pregnant women, who packed all the Jews into the main synagogue in Jerusalem and burned it to the ground, men, women, and children and babies, again screaming and singing, "Christ, we adore thee," while they burned all the Jews, and exterminated them. All of these crusades that were ordered, by the way, by the Vatican. Ordered by the Pope, ordered by the Vatican, these crusades. In the first crusade alone, 80,000 Jews were murdered. The first crusade alone. The Christian crusaders attempted to build buildings there that were crusade. There were castles there that were built there. Huge edifices that were built by the Christians. They attempted to settle there. They wanted to settle in the Holy Land. And they couldn't. The land was impossible for settling when they were there. They were unable to. The weather was terrible. It didn't rain. It was desolate. It was horrible. It was just impossible. It was one of the worst and most dismal places on the face of the earth. One of the most dismal places on the planet. During the 2,000 years the Jews weren't there. The Christians tried and were unable. They tried to build communities. They couldn't survive there. They had to leave. Even though they built castles and buildings and made all types of sacrifices to be there, they couldn't do it. The Byzantines, the Crusaders, all types of Christian settlers attempted to build Christian communities there. They couldn't do it. The Romans attempted to settle there, were unable to do it. The Muslims attempted to settle there. We know the Muslims built giant mosques all over and tried to build communities there. They were unable to settle there. The Turks, for 400 years, attempted to create settlements there. Mixed with Turks and Arabs and tried to create Islamic communities there. They couldn't do it. No one was able to settle there. Nobody was able to stay there. The Mongols, who conquered huge parts of the world and conquered the land of Israel during their worldwide conquest, the Mongols created communities where they eventually mixed in and integrated in Russia and other places. You even see in facial features of many of the Russians and many of the other peoples in the former Soviet Union, you see features where it's clear that there was a mixing with the Mongols. But in the land of Israel, they couldn't do it. In the land of Israel, they couldn't stay. No one could stay there. Nobody could settle the land. Then suddenly, 150 years ago, the Jews start coming back. And 150 years ago, all of a sudden, it starts to rain again. And the land becomes more hospitable again. And eventually the land becomes better and better as more and more Jews come. And the desert starts to bloom as a garden, just as the Bible said it would. And the desolate cities become habitable again. And this incredible miracle unfolds. God kept the land, and the land remained loyal to the Jewish people. God kept the land desolate all the time that the Jews weren't there. He saved it for the Jews to come back. And now they're coming back, and now there's 6 million Jews there. And the land that was one of the worst and most dismal places in the world, one of the worst places in the world you could ever be, horrible place, a nightmare, that same land today is so beautiful and so magnificent. The fruits and vegetables, you know, I eat fruits and vegetables. I'm a health fanatic. I love healthy food. The fruits and vegetables from the land of Israel are so good, are so delicious, are so high quality, that even the worst Nazi Jew haters in Germany and Austria import fruits and vegetables from Israel. They hate the Jews. They tried to exterminate the Jews in the Holocaust, and they're trying to help the Arabs now to finish the job off. But they still buy Israeli fruits and vegetables, despite the fact that they're Nazi anti-Semites. The fruits and vegetables are so delicious and so high quality I couldn't believe it when I first tasted Israeli tomatoes and Israeli onions, and it's just so delicious. The land is so lush now. It is so beautiful. It is so magnificent. And you have everything there. You have the desert. If you like desert living, you have the desert in the Negev. If you like cold weather, you have the Golan Heights, and it snows in the wintertime. If you like beautiful, lush gardens and beautiful, lush areas with lots of plants and lots of flowers, you have the Galil, the Galilee. You have dry temperatures and dry weather, but beautiful, beautiful parks and communities around Jerusalem. It's just, you have everything you'd want there. That's the land of Israel today. It's turned from hell to heaven, from a nightmare to paradise. It's becoming a paradise. Now, of course, the evil Israeli government there wants to ruin that paradise, and they're succeeding to a certain extent. They do succeed, but they're not going to succeed in the long term. We are on an irreversible track toward redemption. Terrible things can happen in the meantime, and that's why we're working so hard to prevent terrible things from happening, but we're on an irreversible track toward Geula Shlema, final redemption. We need to wake the Jews of Israel up. Tens of thousands are now seeing our videos in Israel. Tens of thousands. We showed you three examples on the forum last week of three videos that have tens of thousands of views. We have other videos, like we did a video where we speak about the very important subjects of Israel, including the fact that Richard Nixon once said that he admires tough Jews in Israel. He admires the tough, strong Jews in Israel after the 1967 war, even though he was saying that he hates Jews in general. He was an anti-Semite, Richard Nixon. But the Jews of Israel he admired after the 1967 war. We did a whole video explaining that it's the tough Jews, the uncompromising Jews, the strong Jews, they're the ones that actually get respect from the world. They're the ones that get respect, whereas the weak Jews, like Netanyahu, the weak Jews have received nothing but contempt from the world. So we did a video on that. And just to show you the numbers, okay, we uploaded it once and got 7,700 views. We uploaded it again, got 7,200 views. We've uploaded it now a third time. What we're doing is we're putting the videos all over the place on YouTube. And we're getting 7,000 views here, 8,000 views there, you know, all over the place. Some of our videos, some of our single videos are getting, like, we showed you one with 55,000, one with 37,000, one with, I think, 40-some-odd thousand. We showed you there are some videos like that. And then we have other videos that we're putting all over the internet where we're getting thousands of views. And it adds up. It really adds up. We have dozens of them like that now on the internet. Dozens with thousands of views. And some of them with tens of thousands of views. We also have hundreds and hundreds of videos that don't have that huge number of views. But that's fine. Because as long as we have the ones with tens of thousands, that means we're reaching tens of thousands of people. Not all of the videos succeed to the extent that we want. But the reason we're having such phenomenal success is because even though if we just put our videos up in a normal way, we're discriminated against in terms of the search engines. The search engines are rigged. There've been many articles proving this. There's been a lot of research proving that Google discriminates, YouTube discriminates, Facebook certainly discriminates. So the search engines are rigged against messages like ours. So if we weren't advertising, we'd be getting hundreds of views. But because of our advertising campaign, we're getting tens of thousands of views because we're advertising. If we only had more money, we'd be getting millions of views. If someone would give me the money right now, I could get millions of views. Millions! We could change Jewish history overnight. It's really, really frustrating to see how close we can be to changing things, and yet how far we are, because people won't support the truth adequately. Every time you make a check or a money order, a cash donation to JTF, every time you send it to our post office box, a cash donation check or money order, or every time you donate online through our PayPal account, which you can find on our Hebrew site, Hayamin.org. You go to Hayamin.org, on top there's a donate button, and you can conveniently donate through PayPal. Every time you do that, You're enabling us to reach more people. The more money we get, the more people we reach, the more we're able to advertise, the more Jews are exposed to our uncompromising message. It's so vitally important to the future of the world. That's the first subject we wanted to bring up and discuss with you. The second subject is Donald Trump. You know, there's no end to his betrayals and his breaking of campaign promises. It's amazing that anyone still supports that vicious, lying, cheating snake. His Mideast envoy, his special envoy to the Mideast, Jason Greenblatt, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, that self-hating Judenrat Kapo, he just went and urged members of Congress not to pass legislation demanding that the PLO stop sending money to the families of terrorists. What the PLO does is, if you have someone in your family that blows themselves up murdering Jews, or that commits an act of terrorism murdering Jews, the PLO sends you a reward. It actually rewards you and pays off your family, and you start getting checks every month from the PLO rewarding you and thanking you for murdering Jews. And of course, the head of the PLO, they call it the Palestinian Authority. There is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. It's an Arab lie and an Arab bluff. But anyway, it's the PLO. And the head of it is the number one terrorist there, Mahmoud Abbas, sometimes calls himself Abu Mazen. He and Yasser Arafat have murdered thousands of Jews. So of course, they're supporting the families of terrorists. But in Congress, Ted Cruz and other members of Congress decided that they're going to sponsor legislation saying that we're not going to give money anymore to the PLO. We're not giving them any more of the hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer aid that goes to them every year from the American taxpayers. They're not getting it anymore as long as they continue to give money, send checks to the families of terrorists in order to encourage people to slaughter more innocent human beings, more innocent Jews, and more Americans and others, because they want to exterminate all non-Muslims. And so there's a bill in Congress. Ted Cruz and some others are proposing a bill to stop aid to the PLO terrorists and demand that they stop funding. Of course, the bill doesn't go as far as I would like to see. I mean, I would like all these terrorists should be killed. They shouldn't just get stopping funding, and there shouldn't be conditions, and if you do this, we'll give you the funding. If not, all of them should be killed. You should have an Israeli government that goes in and kills all the terrorists. That's what should happen. Terrorists should be killed. But anyway, Jason Greenblatt went and told the Orthodox Union that he doesn't want this bill to pass. He says it's going to impede the peace process, and that it's very important that we have a peace process, that we create a so-called Palestine state, which would be national suicide for Israel. These are the Judenrat capos that are in the Trump administration, that Trump himself now is pushing against any attempt to pressure the PLO on this issue or to get the PLO to stop supporting terrorism. Trump pretended to make a big deal over this when Abu Mazen was in Washington, but the reality is anyone who sees what's going on in Washington sees that, in fact, he is doing a bigger cover-up for them even than Obama was doing. And, you know, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, another anti-Semite and another traitor to the United States as well. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, he said the PLO is stopping these payments. They're not doing the payments anymore, something which even Netanyahu, the ultimate appeaser, said that's not true. And the PLO itself issued a denial, said, no way, we're going to continue to support our martyrs, our Islamic martyrs and our Islamic heroes. They denied they're stopping it, and they proved it. They were showing on PLO television, they're showing the checks, and they're showing that it's still going to them. In fact, they've increased the budget. They've increased the budget for supporting the terrorists and their Muslim terrorists and their families. But Rex Tillerson is lying and saying, no, they've stopped it already. Just made up a lie. That is what the Trump administration is. Apologists and supporters and defenders of the Arab Islamic terrorists, mass murderers, and of those who want to destroy Israel. That is who runs the Trump administration. And that is Trump's policy now. You know, looking at the fact that Trumpsters, first of all, before I was going to talk about Trumpsters and immigration, but before I get to that, in view of this, anyone who supports Israel must be against Trump. If you support Israel, you've got to be against Trump. If you support Trump, you're supporting the destruction of Israel. Because Trump is working to get Israel to commit national suicide. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. So there's no choice. If anyone genuinely cares about Israel, supports Israel, you have to be completely against Trump. Completely against him. And all the stupid people who supported him when he was running for president, when we warned you, when we showed and proved that he was going to be like this, we told you from the start he was going to be like this. And all the stupid people that insisted upon supporting him, you're guilty for all the bad things that are now happening in Israel. Jews are being murdered, terrible things are happening, and you're the ones who are responsible for this. We could have had Ted Cruz as president, he wouldn't have done these things. Anyway, that's as far as the pro-Israel Jews and Gentiles are concerned. But I want to speak about immigration, because the number one issue that supposedly started Trump's candidacy was the issue of immigration. And one of the things he insisted he was going to do was cancel Obama's executive orders on the Dreamers. He was going to stop Obama. Obama was trying to legalize millions of illegal aliens here. He called it the Dream Act, where he said that people who were here and they have children here and families here, he was going to stop their deportation and legalize them. And he issued executive orders which were blocked by the courts. And he wasn't succeeding. He wasn't succeeding in doing what he wanted to do. Trump now is succeeding because nobody's challenging Trump in court on what Trump is doing. Because it's Trump doing it. So they figure if Trump does it, then it can't be bad. We're not going to challenge Trump in court. So nobody's even challenging him. Trump this week announced that he is going to legalize all the illegals, all the dreamers, all the illegal dreamers he's going to legalize. By the way, that's the dreamers are the children of illegal aliens who came here. That's 5 million illegal aliens, at least 5 million. That's the conservative estimate. Trump has now said that he plans to legalize them, to give them legal status, to let them stay here. And he is already legalizing them at a faster rate than Obama was. And by the way, the rate of border crossings, in the beginning when people thought they believed all of Trump's rhetoric, they foolishly believed all of Trump's rhetoric, and some of the illegals also believed it, so in the beginning the border crossings were down. Starting in May, now they're up again. Now they're higher than they were under Obama's administration now. Border crossings are up. Legalizing the illegal aliens is up. Everything that Trump is doing now is worse than Obama. Why? Because Trump now, to prove that he's not a racist, and to prove that he's not really this bad guy that the media says he is, he's going to bend over backwards and he's going to give the illegals more rights and more benefits and a faster path to citizenship than Obama ever would have succeeded in doing. He's going to succeed where Obama couldn't succeed and where Hillary Clinton would have been unable to succeed, because the Republican Congress would have blocked Hillary Clinton. And you would have had all these conservative groups would have challenged her in court if she tried to do these things. Nobody's challenging Trump's orders in court. Republican Congress is not trying to block Obama. Is not trying to block Trump from legalizing these people. So under Trump, the third worldization of America, the transformation of America into a third world banana republic, is happening faster under Trump than it was under Obama or under Bush or what would have been under Hillary Clinton. It's amazing. It's amazing. Just look at the statistics. Look at the results. And, you know, we mentioned this last week, and we actually had Trumpsters come onto our video and say, and try to play with the figures and try to pretend otherwise. The fact is he's legalized more people during the time he's been president. He's been legalizing more illegals than Obama did during the same time. It's just the fact. The statistics are very, very clear. He's legalizing more. And the Trumpsters, who are supposed to be against all of this, are justifying it and defending it. You're going to continue to defend him until he sinks you and destroys the country completely. Because that's what he's doing. He's destroying the country. Right under your nose, he's destroying the country. While talking tough, he's doing the same policies. He's destroying the country. He's breaking all of his campaign promises and destroying America. And you're going to continue to support him anyway. Well, at least some people are beginning to wake up. Ann Coulter now says it looks like the Trump haters might have been right about him. They might have been right about him. She said, we always knew he had that his personality was terrible. He was completely immoral. That we always knew. But we were hoping that his policies would be good policies, even though he as a person is not a good person, she said. This is what she said. She was his most enthusiastic backer. Now she says the Trump haters might have been right all along. She says she's still hoping against hope that something's going to change. Give me a break. Fact is, JTF was right. JTF was right about Trump. JTF has been right about Israel. JTF has been right about Netanyahu. Our message has to get out there. You have to help us. If you care about justice and righteousness and truth, you have to help us. And right now, especially our campaign to advertise in Israel, we got to reach as many Israeli Jews as we can. We can wake the people of Israel up. We can succeed if only we have the resources. If only we can reach people with our message. We can succeed. Help us. Join with us. Let's fight together to make this a better world. Sometimes we take stands that are unpopular, but in the end, people are going to see that the unpopular stands and our willingness to take the hits sometimes, that this is actually what every true organization and every true group of idealistic people should always be willing to do. And again, as I pointed out to you last week, by the way, the visits, though, to our main page are up. And we're actually getting more people are coming to our main page than we're ever coming to the forum. So even the English language movement, even the English language movement is getting substantial exposure. We are being exposed. And the Hebrew language movement, which is much more important for us, the Hebrew language movement, we're reaching tens of thousands. In a country of only 6 million Jews, that's a lot. But we've got to reach more than that. We've got to reach the people of Israel, the whole people of Israel, with the truth. And we have to do that frequently. And therefore, we need your help in order to do that. Help us together. We can make this a better world, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.